Okay, listeners, welcome to the September 29th, 2014 edition of the Odelay Show. Our interview guest today is my friend Jesse Knight. Welcome, Jesse.
Well, hi. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you, ma'am. Jesse is the Sex Trafficking Outreach Director of the Rescue Project, headquartered at the Phoenix Dream Center here in Phoenix, Arizona. Our second guest, as promised on our previous on the Odelay previous Odelay editorial report, not present, but we'll talk a little bit about her, what she would have told you about if she were here, the Skyway Railroad. She's out of Chicago. Jesse, again, welcome. What is sex trafficking? Like, where and when does it occur? Who is at risk, and how exactly does it work?
Sex trafficking, Chris, is the trade of humans, most commonly for the purpose of sex slavery or commercial sexual exploitation. Trafficking can involve adults or children, male or female, it doesn't matter. It involves the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of a person for the purpose of exploitation. Sex trafficking can include, for example, coercing a migrant into a sexual act as a condition of allowing or arranging the migration from one country to another. It could even be from one state to another, one city to another, if we're just in the United States. Before I go into the where it happens and who is at risk, I'll just talk a little bit more about sex trafficking. Sexual trafficking uses physical or sexual coercion, deceit, abuse of power, and bondage incurred through a forced debt. Trafficked women and children, for instance, are often promised work in the domestic or service industry, but instead are sometimes taken to a brothel where they're used as a sex worker with a promise of getting their passport or other identification papers. And once, you know, part of the coercion is, once they have the paperwork, the trafficker or pimp, sometimes called a pimp or madam, will hold on to those paperwork until the debt, so-called, is paid off. Trafficking has different forms. We hear a lot about, you know, the sex slave coming over from another country to pay off a debt. So you have your out-of-country, but you also have domestic. You have a lot of domestic trafficking going on in the United States, and it's all economically driven, whether it's to get from, you know, one job to another, from one country to another, or it's even here. It's a single mom who has three kids who can't find a job, is basically homeless, and has no way to feed her children. A trafficker will, again, deceive her into thinking that the promise of being taken care of, that she wouldn't have to work, and eventually it leads into exploitation. So that is kind of an idea of what trafficking is. Where does it occur? It happens literally right in front of us. We don't see it. I think that a lot of communities, they either tolerate it, they're not quite sure how to approach it, but it's happening to a house next door. A brothel could be your next door neighbor. It could be the neighbor down the street. It could be the college student in, you know, wherever your colleges are at, your university are at in your major cities. I know that most of our major trafficking takes place near the colleges here in Phoenix. Grand Canyon University, Gateway College, ASU is the biggest area for recruitment for young people into the sex industry. Mm-hmm. Who is at risk? Honestly, everyone, primarily women. I would say women over the age of 18 are like a number one target because they are adults. The laws are kind of written where it's considered I don't want to say coercion, consensual. If you're an adult and you want to have a sex with another adult and you agree upon it, you're both over the age of 18, well, it's consensual you might be paying for a service for somebody's time. It's kind of a way around how the prostitutes get around it. Now, a child, the recruitment age, the average recruitment age is between the ages of 12 and 14.
Right.
So in what we're seeing an increase here in Phoenix is in young boys. So there's a demand in the sex industry for young boys. So everyone is at risk. I mean, I take care of women in their 50s that are still being exploited by a boyfriend or by a pimp. We get kids as young as 10 who have been exploited. I've heard stories of sexual exploitation starting at the age of 3. Just to prey on the desperation, the economic desperation when it comes to adults. And then for children or young adults, it could be drug-related, it could be a drug-induced habit that they're supporting, or it could be just attention, the attention they're not getting at home. So the predator, which is your trafficker, deceives the victim into believing that whatever their need will be satisfied in some way, whether it's, you know, it's a relationship, it's attention, it's money, it's fame. I know that some of our more advanced highlight type prostitution, it's about status. So some women actually sell themselves into prostitution for the namesake to become a prostitute or become, you know, an escort or whatever the case may be. So there's several different angles on exactly how trafficking works and different reasons and levels of why people get into it.
You mentioned international vectors. I mean, where is that coming from?
Wow, the biggest area we're seeing international trafficking coming into the United States anyway is Asia.
Okay.
Phoenix is the brothels, the massage brothels here are horrible. I've been putting routes together to do outreaches in the Phoenix metro area for the brothels, and each city, Tempe, Chandler, Mesa, Phoenix, Glendale, each city has about 20 brothels, Asian brothels, that are, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that. I just find them on Backpage. I put adult entertainment on Backpage, and they all come up.
Backpage.com, which is,
yeah.
If people are interested in learning more about the litigation, criminal and civil related to that organization, they can read my Backpages, where your position was also featured prominently, and various others, including the Attorney General's Office and various other faith-based volunteer organizations locally. So here in Phoenix, I mean, that's an interesting perspective. Like, you'd think, well, maybe they're all going to be Latin Americans because we're so close to the border. But still, the flow from Asia is strong no matter where you are politically and where you are geographically. I think that speaks to a certain global economy that's unavoidable when one's trying to consider how to resolve, you know, community at large problems. You have to consider all of the phenomena that are occurring, you know, that you can observe. And it doesn't matter if it's on the other side, you know, of the planet, it still affects here locally. By essentially all accounts, and you also mentioned the jobs market. I don't know if anybody can get a job. I mean, barring what you do because you do it and you're driven by your faith walk. And I do what I do because I'm driven by my faith walk, if you will. I don't know what, and then people who are driven by profiteering and racketeering and love of money, they have wed their lives to that sort of thing and they can get a job. So we have jobs. So if you might, vocations. I don't know what people who aren't, like to some degree or another, charismatic, who aren't driven by greed, I don't know what they do for work. I have no idea. I guess this is one of the options that comes up to people who don't know what to do. And that's not good. It's always worth bearing in mind that is where I would say that's where 99% of the desperation occurs that brings people to this kind of egress, who arrive at this sort of thing. In that way, if they're people who are recruited and snuffed at a young age, that's kind of different. That wasn't their own decision, really, statutorily, in my opinion,
right,
in terms of natural law. So by essentially all accounts, sex trafficking is ubiquitous and rampant throughout our nation. And I think that's true. You mentioned the the brothels. I'll have to say, some of the experience I have had working with you and your organization, they may not, I mean, I would define philosophically, personally, as a brothel. I would define a brothel as an apartment complex that is more or less governed and controlled by pimps and drug narcotic salespeople for the purposes of distributing and providing services of narcotics and sex commodification. To me, that's a brothel. And I would, maybe that's a more broad definition of what you call it, but those are everywhere. And I live in an apartment.
They're in neighborhoods. They're in residential neighborhoods.
Yeah, they doesn't even have to be high density, apartments or condos or short stay motels and the like. I suppose you could get, I mean, that's why you have to be, one has to pay attention to one's own basically local county precinct. Because, I said before, no one goes around and says, people who are defrauding you the document that they're using to defraud you doesn't declare that, hey, we're here to defraud you, we're criminals. It says something else. It uses a cover. So they got you, as you said, the people next door. I live in an apartment here, and it takes all kinds. And this apartment is not far from the Point Hilton. And I used to work in the service industry, but I had a completely different, I worked in restaurants. I was a short order cook. I delivered pizzas and that sort of thing. But now, knowing what I know about, community, through community journalism and my own personal civic investigation and over the years, I see this in a completely different light. And I see people who are certainly at risk, if not involved already. So by essentially all accounts, sex trafficking is ubiquitous and rampant throughout our nation. And even more so in Greater Phoenix, arguably because of the city's size and because of its proximity to the border with Mexico and legalistically sanctioned prostitution hubs within Nevada. At least this is how I've heard it portrayed, in meetings. Is this, in fact, Jesse, an accurate representation of the criminal element that can be experienced in the everyday lives of law-abiding citizens here in the county and throughout the United States? Like, and you might have already kind of answered this, but Is it how much of this is just a drill? Is there success? Is there a way out, or are we needing more volunteers? Are we needing more awareness?
Are definitely needing more awareness. We are needing citizens, just common everyday people, to report to law enforcement in their area, or even just Homeland Security. That what they see, they may not be sure of what they see of what's going on. There's education classes that you can take, especially with the Super Bowl coming into town. There is a lot of resources available to us now in Phoenix on how to identify trafficking and prostitution going on even right next door. And I'll just put myself out there. I happen to live near RSU, and my outreach team and I, we go into the strip clubs, and I happen to have a lady living in my apartment that is a dancer in one of our clubs, and she brings her work home.
Yep.
So, and I'm, I've reported it, but at the same time, they're just kind of like, law enforcement, they have their hands tied in that they have to see the transaction. The transaction dollar amount taking place. So the laws need to be changed, in my opinion. There needs to be some type of process flow for law enforcement so that when somebody like me knows that prostitution is going on in my neighborhood and I report it to law enforcement, how are they going to shut down that brothel? I mean, we can picket, we can protest, I can call as many times as I want, but again, the disconnect, in my opinion, in our in our community not being able to get the issue resolved is the laws that literally protect the brothels and the workers in the sex.
I live in these apartments over here, and there are several girls who've come and gone. They kind of have the same tattoos, and one of them is obviously in trouble. And I've, she has various, clientele coming and going. And there was an aggressive pickup a couple of weeks ago, and she clearly didn't want to go. And I've talked to her about her past, her substance history of substance abuse and her attempts at recovery. And these guys didn't want to pick her up. These guys were there trying to pick her up, and they were being really gruff in the language they were using. And there was two of them, and it was clearly coerced. And, you know, get your person, come on, you know, and that sort of thing. And talking to her and with earshot of me, I wouldn't have anybody talking to me that way, you know? And so it was obvious to me what it was, you know, I went to call. I thought, well, look, you know, call the sheriff's office. I got a recording. So if I had had a narcotics background information to give, there was a choice to make, or transportation or pets, you know, animal control. But I would have had to call emergency dispatch with this particular brand of information, which isn't actionable just in a vacuum by itself. So I will say that it may appear that law enforcement's hands are tied, but, you know, you have to, and I guess as an investigative reporter and a journalist, I am accustomed to doing this, and it may sound like rash advice, but you mean you kind of have to build your own case as a citizen. I mean, you have eyes and ears, you know, people do.
That's true.
So, you know, just take notes. You know, I took a picture of the vehicle driving off because it was really bad. It was one of those that I got really bad feelings. I know where she's going, you know.
And that's the biggest thing for law enforcement. If the community sees, you know, a local member of our community sees this going on, such as yourself, is to get the description of the vehicle, attempt to get the license plate number, you know, contact VICE in Phoenix and in your surrounding cities. Again, you can contact Homeland Security because it is, They're number two, a protocol or I don't want to say project, or whatever their hierarchy is. Number two is sex trafficking, and they have the ability, I feel Homeland Security has the ability to contact whoever they need to contact within the law enforcement in that area,
yep.
And they can work together.
Yeah, yeah. So human trafficking just almost has to be, by as a rule, generally almost always would be interstate. As well, so a federal criminal justice recourse is applicable. You know, and these women living in these apartments. I mean, they may not even know it, but they're considered by, you know, on a black. I mean, all their tattoos are the same. You know, and they you know, some of them probably do, and some of them probably don't. But I mean, it's just as if just waiting for somebody to one person to move out of the neighborhood and pull down a standard, and then there's nobody left. But you know, and then who's collecting the rent? Well, the pimps. And then that's it. That's it. It's like a computer virus.